Welcome to Jesus-Centric Life. I'm Donna. I'm here with Pastor Josh. And today we're talking about expanding the vision, leading a Jesus-centric life. So if you've noticed, it's not Jesus-centric leadership anymore. Yep. It's Jesus-centric life. We sat down, we talked, we prayed about it, and really feel that God's kind of opening this new door to bring more people into the podcast, opportunities for more than just our leaders and speaking about leadership, although we'll still do that sometimes.
Yep, absolutely.
Still talk about how this applies to leaders, but we've expanded it to talk more about life and how do I live Jesus in my life every day? How do I not make him this hat that I take on and off on Sundays, but he is permeating my life.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I think when we say this idea, Jesus-centric life, we're not ruling out leadership. Like, it's not a move away from leadership, but it's rather to work on the entirety of what it means to be kind of centered on Jesus. And so one of the verses for me that's really big in this is actually Galatians 2 verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, which is simple to understand in one sentence. It's Jesus loves me and my life is found not in my life, but in his life. But in the other way, it's rather complex. Like, what does it mean that Christ lives in me in my leadership, in my family? What does it mean that Christ lives in me when I'm struggling, when I've sinned, when I've messed up? What does it mean when I'm struggling with truth? Like, all of these things. And we've really, I think even in leadership, we've been talking around all of these ideas, but what does it mean to sink day by day deeper and richer into this, that my life isn't my own, but it's actually found in Christ Jesus?
Now, before we get into the meat and bones of this, I want to go to the first part of that verse.
Yeah.
To die with Christ.
Yeah.
Okay, so does that mean I have to be put up on the cross?
Yeah, and so in Romans 3, it talks about that I've been baptized with Christ, therefore I died with him and I was buried with him. And so I love this image, and I actually tell people when we do immersion baptisms, right, that I tell them that you're going to go under the water, you're going to die. We have yet to have to call the ambulance, so it's not death like that, but you're actually going to die because God works in this mysterious way through baptism that we're actually, we are in a real and mysterious way. We're put on the cross with Christ. We die with him in our baptism, and then we're given new life with him when we're then pulled back out of the water, which I think is a great analogy for kind of how this works and what part of that is physical, what part of that is spiritual. I don't know. I'm going to leave that up to God to work that, but I do know that he promises that, we do die with him on the cross in our baptism. How that works, I can't tell you, but I'm just going to have faith that it does.
Right.
And then what the Bible chooses to talk about is what the result of that is, right?
Right.
What the result of that. And then the whole Bible is about really what the result of that death and resurrection that we have through Jesus, how that changes our life. And so, like, when we talk about Jesus, we talk about following him, but we talk about being a Christian, all of these things, it's really flowing out of what it means that we died with Christ in our baptism and were raised to new life with him. And so that new life is that Jesus-centric life.
Yeah, I love that. I also love the look on people's faces as you're explaining that, and they're like, and you're like, okay, let's go. And they're like, wait, I'm going to die in this? I didn't sign up for that.
Yeah, I only keep you down for a few seconds, so everybody's fine.
Yeah, I love it, though. I love everything that you just said, and I love how you wrapped it up. Like, it changes our lives.
Yeah.
This is not just I sit and watch and, you know, think if I want to participate in the game. Like, my life has changed because of Jesus.
Yeah. And I think it's this weird thing too of, like, it's really easy to, like, come out of the water and think like, oh, now I'm a new person. And in a way you are, but in a way it's not fully realized yet. And then, like, we get to spend our whole lifetime, like, more fully realizing that, right? It's not like, boom, I've arrived. It's rather, this is true. And then we get to use our whole life learning more about it, right? In Ephesians, Paul says how rich and deep and wide the love of Christ is, right? Like, that's just so beautiful to think about, that we that when we know the love of Jesus Christ, we have this opportunity to more fully realize just the extent of it, the extent of the change in our life, in our leadership, in our families, in everything, right?
And it's not fully realized on this side of heaven. It's not fully realized till we're home with him, right?
Yes, but we get to grow in it. And I don't know if you've ever, like, there's certain people that I've spent time with and I'm just like, wow, you just understand this grace, this love of Jesus more than other people. And that isn't like a, oh, you're a better Christian than they are. It's just a gift of the insight of the mystery of God that God has given to them. And for me, when I'm around people like that, it's like, oh, there's more to understand about Jesus. And for me that, and I hope when I'm saying that, what that does to the listener is it's like, well, I want to sit at the feet of Jesus more so that I have that, not a guilt and shame. Oh, why haven't I been sitting at the feet of Jesus? I don't have that.
Right.
And does that make sense?
Oh, because, yeah.
And so,
because it's not like we're not going to get on the gold medal podium one day.
Yeah.
Like I've arrived and now I get my gold, you know, medal. But it's a journey that we're on lifelong. And there's times, and maybe I don't even know it, that I'm going to do that journey really well.
Yeah.
And my life is committed and I'm ready. Use me, Lord. And there's times I'm going to fail miserably and I'm going to struggle. And God is still faithful and he's still good and he still shows up and he still uses me.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's it. And so this isn't a... This is rather a, the hope is when we hear that there's always more richness and depth to understand about being centered on Jesus and being in his grace and love. There's always more to learn on that. And I think that's a graceful invitation to how do you understand the love of God more and more each day. And that's really, I think, what Jesus-centric life is, that as we struggle with his grace and his truth and how we're called to obey and how we serve and how we walk and how we're called to lead and all these things, as we're called to do that, what it should end up doing is it should be a gracious invitation to understand him more fully and understand ultimately his grace and love more fully. And that sometimes means that we have to talk about his truth and how we fall short. And sometimes that means that we have to have hard conversations, or we have to say that, you know, sometimes you got to stop sitting and resting in his grace. But that also means that I think through that, we learn to look to him in the struggles and trials and difficulties.
I love that verbiage, gracious invitation. And the thought that just came to me is, what is the best invitation that I ever got, right? And this is so much better than that. I mean, you're invited to sit at the feet of Jesus.
Yeah.
And to walk in his ways and to learn his ways. And that's exciting.
Yeah.
That should really be an exciting, beautiful invitation that we receive.
Yeah. What is that best invitation you ever had?
I got to go to the Ritz-Carlton in Grand Canyon.
Yeah, you talk about that a lot.
I do. I'm hoping heaven is a lot like the Ritz-Carlton in Grand Cayman. But yeah, I couldn't believe we're at this gorgeous, beautiful place.
Yeah.
And everything was paid for.
Okay.
It was fantastic.
That's pretty special.
Yeah. And everything that we did, people would be like, oh, that's a great choice, Miss Patton, you know? And I was like...
like words of affirmation, which are big for you. Yeah.
All of it, like the gifts, all of it was there. And, but that's not even... half. That's not even a quarter.
Yeah.
That's not even 10% of this invitation that I've been given by Jesus to join in his mission, to live this life.
Yeah. 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 For me, it was, I got invited, to meet one of my heroes, Cary Newhoff, one time. And I talk about him a bit, and literally it was supposed to be me and a bunch of other leaders. And I was the only one showed up. So it was like me and a few people from his team. And it was just, it was wonderful. And he was more authentic and real than I would have ever imagined, being, you know, someone that's on, you know, pretty well known, in the church world. Anyway, some of you are listening, you're like, I have no clue who that even is, but it was a big deal for me. It was kind of one of my heroes, but yeah, that invitation was like, oh, this is like a big deal. And so, but what we get from Jesus is so much more. And it's not just a oh, you met him once, that was a big deal, but it's this invitation to spend every day with him,
yeah,
and walk with him through his word with other people. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. So why was it time for us to move from Jesus-centric leadership to Jesus-centric life?
Because I had no more to say about leadership. I mean, we joke about that, but there is an honest truth. Like we saw this need at Peace with Christ to develop our leaders.
Yes.
Like, and so we, like, Donna's like, oh, let's start a podcast. And I was like, okay, I'll do it under two conditions. We have to do it for a year and we have to have 52 episodes planned before we ever hit record. I think we maybe got 70 in,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, we're at 74, I think.
And it's been good and we could probably come up with more content, but probably on the leadership space alone, probably our content isn't, there's only going to be so much more than we have. And I think this really, A, it opens us up to really, there's so much we can talk about with being centered on Jesus.
Right.
Right. I said, there's just a plethora. And so some of it's that, some of it's that we've had people really enjoy this and we've got really good feedback and people telling us how helpful it is. And so we want to continue it going. And I think this will just give us a place to have more content and great content. But I think the other part of it is just, there'll be leadership stuff in here. And the reason there'll still be leadership is I truly believe that a follower of Jesus is a leader.
Right.
Like it's actually non-negotiable, but we keep getting this back from people. They'll say, well, I'm not a leader. And it's almost like the problem is we see a leader as, oh, you're the person up leading the voters meeting,
right,
or you're the pastor, or you're doing VBS and telling everybody what to do.
Or you're the CEO of your company.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
We see a leader, I think, too closed in.
Too narrow.
Too narrow. Yeah. Yeah. We see it as this kind of type A person that's up front. And by the way, you're a type, more of a type A leader. I'm not a type A leader. Like I get up and do the things up front, but naturally who I am is not I'm someone who comes in and does what's needed, not the person who wants to be up there front leading. Like that's just not me. But yet when God calls us, he calls us to take what you know about Jesus,
right,
and lead other people in that. And so God has blessed me with some knowledge about the Bible through my seminary training, through my study. And so I get to tell other people about that. God has blessed you as a listener with certain things. And so you get to tell other people about it. Whether you call that leadership or not, at some level, I don't care. But as a Christian, we are called to follow Jesus. And that does include doing things for other people. And a lot of times I think that's probably more leadership than most people think. But really what we're going to focus on more in this iteration of the podcast is really more on how do we follow Jesus and how do we live that out? And
right,
there's a lot of leadership in there, but there's also just a lot of us living life following Jesus. And that's really what this is about.
So if you're in our leadership groups, the reason that we started Jesus-centric leadership was because we wanted a way to communicate the concepts of leadership that were values here at Peace, that were valuable to us, to hear the stories of people,
yeah,
in a way that we felt people could really absorb it, which,
yeah,
is podcasts. It's,
yeah,
a pretty popular thing right now. But little do people know, when we brought up the whole concept of Jesus-centric life, you were super hesitant, not just because of the putting together how many we had to have and all of that. But explain why. Why is it a little bit hard to make that shift for you? And then we're going to talk about a little bit for our listeners.
Yeah. So I feel like personally I'm in an interesting place in my life right now. I think I know Jesus loves me. I know his grace. I can preach it boldly and confidently.
Right.
But the disconnect I sometimes see and feel is, how do I take those simple statements and apply that to the complexity of my life, right? With the challenges I go through, with the raising kids, with the health stuff, with the just general difficulties of leading a church. Like, how do I take that simple message and apply it to my life, right? Like, and that's where I feel like,
and not just apply it, but really dig into it. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's not a coat I put on a hat.
Yeah.
I can't take it off, but how do I really live in this space the majority of my life?
Yeah, because when it's easy to say Jesus loves me.
Right.
The simple Bible answer. And the Bible answer that, by the way, is that's the gospel.
Right.
But like, how does that affect me when I'm struggling with whatever it is, fill in the blank? Like, how does that give me hope? How does that give me what I need? And while it's really easy to say, I think Jesus-centric life for me is living in the depth of the comfort and hope I get from that simple statement, Jesus loves me, when maybe I'm not feeling it or thinking it, or I know it, but how do I know it throughout my whole self?
Yeah.
And I just feel like I don't want this, I guess where I'm fearful, I don't want this podcast to just be a, here's the facts, here's the figures, here's the idea, but what does it mean to live in the depth of this? And that's something that in some ways I'm still figuring out for myself. And so when you pushed me to let's do this, it's that we get to grow in this together. What it means that our whole being comes from the fact that I was crucified with Christ.
Right. Yeah. Before we went live, we were just kind of sharing a little bit and talking about what we were going to talk about today. And one of the things that I said was, I learned this a while back, was we've been called to lead and to teach these concepts for me over half of my life. I've stood on the front line of this. Yes, Jesus loves me, and I'm going to share that, and I'm going to share what that means.
Mm-hmm.
But to really lean into this truth in a way that is really life-changing, like never before, and it's not by works. It's not like, oh, I'm going to work to be a better Christian, but to lean into a truth that I've known my whole life, and I want to live in every center of my life, every corner, every piece, the seen, the unseen, all of it. And that does get to be challenging. It's hard.
Yeah. And so I think generally like how I've been taught Jesus-centric life is, okay, I'm a Christian. I'm saved by grace. And I'm going to understand the facts of that. I'm going to understand the Bible. And then after that, I'm going to live my life in a certain way because of the stuff that I know. But it's always like I've been taught this just knowledge base. And I don't want to, like, I'm very high on knowledge.
Right.
I think having biblical knowledge is so critical. And I think we're in a world where our Bible knowledge is down and it's not as good. And so we're going to have a lot of biblical knowledge in this. But it can't just stop there. Like a Jesus-centric life can't just stop with, oh, I know the things and now I'm going to put them into practice. But how does that affect how I feel about myself? How does the fact that Jesus loves me affect how I feel about myself? How does it affect how I look to him in the midst of struggles? As opposed to, I think generally Jesus-centric life is, okay, Jesus loved you, now go do something. But how does Jesus walk with me in the doing? How does he give me comfort and hope? How does he give me the perseverance I need, right? Like the Bible says that suffering produces perseverance and perseverance produces hope. So how does suffering get me to a place where I understand Jesus more fully? Like I'm coming to believe that Jesus doesn't miss an opportunity to grow us through our suffering.
That's right.
Like that's Jesus-centric life, because when I know that my hope isn't in the lack of suffering, I go back to him, right? And so that's really big. It's easy to say this, and probably half of you are confused at this moment, and Donna's like, you're rambling.
Get no,
to the point.
I don't think so at all. I think you're stating it really well. As a matter of fact, I think there's a passion behind this that that's really important for the church today, and that's what I see. I hear you very passionate about, we've got to start talking about this, and we've got to really start unwrapping what this means for me today, for you today, for our listeners today.
Yeah.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, what's the change that you hope Jesus-centric life leaves behind?
Oh, well, however God wants to use it, I think that's really it. However God wants to use it. But what I'm seeing and feeling and thinking as I dive into scripture in this interesting season that I'm in, it's that we need less of me and more of Jesus. And saying that is one thing, but living in that is a totally different thing. Less of me, more of Jesus. And how do we get there together as a community, as, you know, as people following Jesus? And how do our whole lives begin to be shaped by Jesus? And when I say that our whole lives being shaped by Jesus, a lot of times we mean, well, I got to do the right thing. And I don't mean that. Yes, we got to do the right thing, but how are we thinking and feeling and living and walking in him more fully? And when we're doing that, then they'll know we are Christians by our fruit. Mm. The apple tree doesn't make the fruit come out of it. The fruit comes out of it because it's an apple tree. And when we're in Jesus, when we're reminded of him, when we're struggling to live his way, then he molds us and shapes us into the fruit tree that he wants us to be.
And the fruit that comes from that tree is good fruit.
Yeah.
Really.
And it's good fruit, not because I made it good fruit, but because he made it. And
because
so that's
he made it. Because there's less of me and more of him.
Yeah.
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 I'm looking forward to our conversations moving forward, and I'm excited about what God's going to do with this shift in our podcast. And we just want to thank you listeners for making the shift with us. And we look forward to more discussions in the future on Jesus-centric life. Have a great day.